Welcome back. 1244, 1260, WRC, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times, awaiting the arrival of Emily Miller, who evidently was caught in traffic. She'll be along momentarily, I believe. But in the meantime, I don't know if you caught any of the president's speech yesterday. He was speaking at the University of Michigan to young, uninformed people. And, of course, in addition to talking about the minimum wage, he was talking about, well, things like those nasty Republicans. Here's a little bit of it.
They do have one original idea, which is to repeal Obamacare. Because they haven't tried that 50 times.
That's the president yesterday having some fun in Michigan with a bunch of college students who will one day realize they stood there and supported this man, and now they're going to pay for what he's done. So anyway, oh, look who has arrived in studio, the one and only Emily Miller. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Andy.
I saw your piece this morning, and I got to tell you, when I heard this story originally, it just totally freaked me out, because this deals with you call it the bathroom bill. In fact, Maryland's bathroom bill benefits few transgendered, puts all girls at risk from pedophiles, and that's exactly right.
Yeah, so what happened is Maryland has passed this, both Maryland's House and Legislature and Senate this month has passed this bill. It, the big part of the bill is to give people who have gender identity issues all the rights, non-discrimination. So non-discrimination in housing and employment and in loans and things like that. Included in that is public accommodations. Now that means public bathrooms, locker rooms, pool changing rooms, anything that's public. Well, the Republicans in the House tried to amend it to make it clear that these people, that men cannot go into women's room where women are getting unclothed, because in essence, the only thing that defines in this law when someone is a transgender, which whatever that means, it doesn't mean you've had surgery.
No.
It doesn't mean you dress like a man or woman. All you have to do under this new law is say that you strongly identify with a different gender. So what this means in practice is any man can walk into a ladies room, a girl's pool changing room. And, you know, the fear is not that the transgenders, even whatever, that who knows how many of them are there and who knows what.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. The problem is the pedophiles and the sex offenders.
Yes.
So now they can freely walk into women's rooms. And so all these people in the legislature are getting letters from these rape groups, rape crisis centers, women who have been molested and sexually assaulted in bathrooms, little people who as a child were raped in these bathrooms, you know, or locker rooms, those kinds of things. It is so dangerous. And the pro-gay LGBT lobby pressured the Democrats, the liberal Democrats in the legislature, not to let even that small fix into this bill in order to stop it. So it's going to be signed into law. The question is where does it go from here? They're talking about trying to get together a referendum, which would have to be really fast, about 57,000 good signatures by May 31st. But this is not the first place this has happened. I mean, if you look at California, they did this for schools in August. That's already going to almost close to going to referendum. There's a lawsuit about that. There's gotten 500,000 signatures about it, because this puts it while it helps the few, however many, some estimates are 0.2% of the population, which I think is extremely high. I think they're the wrong gender. It puts the other half of the population, which is women and girls, in serious risk.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the places rapists and pedophiles go to, because you're in a locked room. It's very dangerous.
Yeah. And you know what's really surprising to me? First of all, you can tell that Martin O'Malley has no children of his own. He's going to rush to sign this.
Yeah, he is.
But more importantly, Mike Miller, the Senate president, has 14 grandchildren. You know, what the heck is that man thinking?
It's unbelievable. And look, even if any father who has daughters.
Michael Bush. The House leader has two daughters.
Well, obviously, they're, you know, so afraid of this gay lobby that they won't let even this clear fix. And, like, think about a father who takes his daughters to the pool or to the movies, and he can't go in the bathroom with the little girls, so he lets them in himself. Well, the pedophiles now know they can walk in. Again, you don't have to be dressed like a woman. You don't have to have a sex change operation.
No, you just have to claim to be.
And then the other thing is you can't be stopped. You can't be prevented until you commit the crime. So nobody can even stop. You could walk into a woman's room. The only thing they could do to stop you is after you commit a crime, then you prove it. So after you've raped, after you've molested a little girl.
It's too late.
It's so dangerous. And, you know, this whole situation, you know, we've got D.C. now makes it, you have every health plan in D.C. requires that they cover sex change operations. I mean, there are so many legitimate women's issues that aren't being covered by these health plans, like fertility drugs and all these kinds of things. Yet sex change operations, which is optional, obviously, and questionable, is mandatory for health insurance companies, and we all pay for this.
Yeah. Folks, if you haven't read this, you do need to check it out. Maryland's bathroom bill benefits few transgendered, puts all girls at risk from pedophiles. It's by Emily Miller. It's in today's Washington Times. I wanted to touch base with you on another big story that developed yesterday, and that is the shooting down at Fort Hood. Already, Piers Morgan, a few others have sounded off about, hey, see, this is dangerous, these guns, you got to get rid of the guns. What bothers me about this story, and I don't know about you, but what bothers me is there were supposed to be plans put into place whereby you could stop this at the start. You know, if someone walked in with a gun, he doesn't get 14 or 18 or 23 rounds off.
I hadn't heard the military put in any kind of active shooter training because
the military has always had,
since the Bush administration, Bush 41, has had this directive that basically bases military, domestic military bases are gun-free zones. Well, you can go overseas and fight and have any kind of military and arms you want once you come home. And that's this sort of civilian fear that soldiers and airmen and everything are dangerous and irresponsible and can't handle, and they'll get drunk or they'll get angry and they'll shoot each other. As soon as I heard the story, I knew exactly what it was. I knew it was going to be PTSD. PTSD has become such a crisis in our military from coming back from these wars, not being handled well in our military. And the one thing that could have stopped it, just like the one thing that could have stopped the Navy Yard, which is what you're saying, is if there were other people with guns. And the way the military bases are set up, it's only the military police that have guns, and they're not everywhere. This base is 400 square feet, miles. I think it's very important. It hasn't happened yet. I said this after the Navy Yard. Why doesn't Congress at least debate the issue of why there are no guns allowed on military bases? Why is it a gun-free zone? And I think you're going to start hearing Congress, have a couple of congressmen mentioning this yesterday, because it was done from executive order. This has never gone through the people. This has never been decided on a larger scale. And we keep having incidences like this on military bases. It is so unfair to our soldiers who have served in war zones that they come back and they get killed, walking down the street at Fort Hood in Texas.
Yeah, it's a bizarre story, and I sure hope there are some changes implemented. Because, you know, in my mind yesterday, the first thing that should have happened, guy walks in, he starts firing, somebody,
pulls
military
one
cop,
and that puts him down.
Boom, gone. Taken care of. Instead, we get General Ray Odierno, this morning, saying this.
I would just say that I believe that some of the procedures that have been put in place following the incident 4.5 years ago did help us yesterday.
It did?
Procedures that were in place, the response, the training that has gone into the response forces that responded, I think, contributed to making this something that could have been much, much worse.
Okay. Worse? We don't know. And I bet there's going to be congressional hearings. I mean, General D'Arno is the chairman of the Army Chief of Staff. And, you know, he's the general who caught Osama bin Laden. I mean, Saddam Hussein. He's very experienced. But active shooter is a different case than war. And what are they talking about? I mean, if with the last Fort Hood, it was at the gates. You know, this is a different situation completely. And the thing with active shooters is the only thing they tell you to do in all situations, no matter where you are, is attack. Go at them because you have to put them on defense. That means you have to have a gun, too. So we'll find out what he's talking about, what procedures. I'm sure we're going to have investigative hearings about this. And very well may be true that less people would have died. I don't know, but a lot of people were shot yesterday, unfortunately, sadly, too many.
All right, Emily, good to talk to you again. We'll do it next week. See ya. Emily Miller, senior editor of the opinion pages here at the Washington Times. 1253 at 1260 WRC.